Hi, hi, I'm Dr. Safaya, the medical doctor who doubles as an email marketing expert. In here, I take you behind the scenes of failed and successful email marketing campaigns. You get to see what these amazing individuals have tried that worked and didn't work in email marketing. If you've been curious and like me, you want to know what other people out there are really doing in email marketing, then join me as I go behind the scenes. Welcome to another episode of Email Marketing Experiments. And today we have the amazing Adi here. Now, before we go into what it is that we're going to be talking about today, I really, really want you to listen to this, okay? Because this is what led to this particular podcast. So I was scrolling through Threads and then I came across this and it said, and this was like 16th or thereabouts, but this was back in August. And of last year, and it said, let me tell you all about how my open rate has climbed from 55% to 88% in the last 4 months. And I wake up to a few heartfelt replies in my inbox almost every morning. A few months ago, emailing felt like a chore. And Adi went on to share something that I am not sure I have ever seen anywhere. And I knew that I had to bring her on the podcast to talk about this discovery of hers and how it was that she was doing it. Adi, how are you? So good to have you here.
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Now, before we go into all the email talk and, you know, all of that, let me ask you, is there a weird or unexpected reply you've ever gotten from an email subscriber? Something that maybe shocked you or it was just pretty unexpected?
I don't think so. My email list people are like really awesome and really authentic and genuine. So I know sometimes you just get like the spam ones of people trying to like pitch you their service or whatever, but I feel like that's pretty typical, you know?
Yeah, it definitely is. So if we're doing like coffee or tea, which one will it be for you?
I like both. It kind of depends on the day. I usually go for coffee in the morning and then like tea later in the afternoon.
Ah, that's like a really interesting mix. I love it. Coffee in the morning, tea in the evening. I like how you do that. So I would like our listeners to know a bit about you. Could you share a bit about your journey and how you came into using email marketing in your business?
Yeah. So, I mean, I have my own small business, running business online. So, you know, it's kind of hard to run a business online without people saying like, you need to do email marketing. So yeah, it was like one of the first things that I started doing in my business. I feel like for most people, that's probably pretty true, you know, but over the years, as I ran my business, I just was really trying to lean into making marketing feel more exciting and like something that I really enjoyed showing up for and less of like an obligation. And so email sometimes got to the point where it felt like an obligation because it feels like there's a lot of rules that you're supposed to follow to make it work. And so it kind of got to a point where I was like, this doesn't feel as exciting as I always hoped it would be. So
yeah, I definitely get the part about a lot of rules and everybody seems to have their 7 best winning practices and what we've done that works. And it can be pretty overwhelming sometimes. Now, before we, you know, go forward, I would like our listeners to really have an idea of what your small business is about and what you do so that we can, you know, take that for context as we move into what we're talking about.
Yeah, so I teach marketing. I call it cozy marketing just because I feel like, again, like just like with email, like with marketing, there's just so many rules that it feels like we're supposed to follow, or there's ways that we are supposed to show up online just based on what all of the really big accounts and the really successful people say that we need to do. But it doesn't always feel authentic or aligned to our values. Sometimes it can be a little bit like pressure filled or just like inauthentic to who we really are. And so cozy marketing is just a way to approach marketing that allows us to connect with people on a deeper level and show up and share about the things that we feel passionate and excited about and allow those things to be our marketing. And so it allows us to remove some of that pressure, some of the urgency, and just really lean into more of our values and our passions and connect with like-minded people who want to also chase those things with us.
Yeah. And when I read your take on cozy marketing, I really love the fact that it allows you, you know, align your marketing with your personal values, your personal brand culture, and all of that. And I think that that's pretty neat. Now, if you were to give email marketing a job description in your business, what would you say is the role of email marketing in your business today?
I definitely use email as like a space to nurture my relationship with my audience. I really value it as a place to just like show up and share like what I'm learning, what I'm going through, what I'm working on in my business, and just be really authentic. And it's really allowed me to connect with people on a deeper level. And, you know, obviously email is really good for sales and, you know, promoting our offers and things like that. But I've really enjoyed using it as a way that is primarily focused on nurturing those relationships, so that hopefully people just want to open my emails because they're excited to see what's going to be inside rather than expecting a pitch when they open it.
I love it. So I see you doubling down on using email for connection and community such that people, irrespective of if you're going to pitch them or not, they're excited for the new nugget that you're going to share or what it is you're going to give them in each email. And I really like that direction that you're taking. Now, when Adi, you know, made this thread that I talked about, where she shared about her email open rates climbing from a whooping 55, which is already on the high side, to 88% in 4 months, there was something that she said that really struck me. And she was like, a few months ago, so prior to then, emailing felt like a chore, and sending emails to her list felt exactly like posting on Instagram, shouting into the void. And she had no idea if anyone cared about the email she was sending because her open rates were average and she didn't have replies. Now, a whooping 55 is definitely not something that I will consider average, but this was where it was. And then she began to share what's changed, and it is something that she calls lead filtering. Now, I've heard of filtering in different ways, but the way Adi explains this, it was totally new, and I really love the concept. Because maybe we've called it different things, but there's an intentionality and a structure in how she went ahead to do this lead filtering to be able to increase her engagement and, of course, also get replies, which was something that she wanted, right? And so, Adi, I need to ask you, prior to this, right, let's go into this experiment. What were you testing? What did you expect? What did you try? Because I'm wondering, you know, before you came to the point of lead filtering, was there a problem you were trying to solve? Or was this the problem you were trying to solve? And were there other things you had tried? Or was there something you were trying that now helped you discover this concept of lead filtering?
So really kind of was because, you know, as I said, cozy marketing is, I like really focused on building relationships with people and focusing on fewer people of higher quality who, you know, are repeat customers. They enjoy sticking around long term and they'll stick with you through the pivots. They'll bring referrals and they just like help create a thriving and cultivating ecosystem around your brand. And so that was kind of what I was hoping to do. And, you know, I feel like comparing how I felt about emailing to Instagram, I feel like most people probably understand how that feels because Instagram is just like,
yeah,
it's very noisy and you never know when you post something. You never know if it's going to hit, if people are going to see it, if anyone's going to engage with it. And so I was like, everyone says that you need to bring people into your email list because it's supposed to be where the quote unquote hot leads are. But again, it just kind of felt like the same as if I was posting on social media where I was like, I have no idea if this is resonating with people, if, you know, they're interested, is this a waste of time? And it wasn't like converting in the way that I hoped it would. And so I kind of just made this shift where I was like, I don't want to try to grow my email list anymore. Like, that wasn't my goal, because everyone always talks about like, grow your list, like bring more people on your email list. That's why we have freebies and lead magnets, right? To attract people. And I was like, I just don't really want to do that anymore. I would rather have a small list of people who I know want to be there and want to hear from me. And so my intention really was to be like, how can I introduce friction into the process of opting in for my email list so that less people sign up and they're actually a better fit and they're more interested in being there? Because if there's a barrier to entry or some friction in the sign-up process, it's going to weed out those people who are just like freebie seekers or, you know, just signing up on a whim. So it's like, how can I make sure that when someone signs up for my email list, they're doing so very intentionally? And so that's kind of how that all came about. And I actually expected my open rates would improve, right? I kind of did a list clean out and I allowed people to opt out and, you know, re-engage and all of that. So I kind of cleaned out my list a little bit. So I was hoping that my open rates would improve. But I expected my opt-in rates to go down. So I expected to have less people signing up and, you know, a smaller list. And it was so interesting because I actually did the opposite. But yeah, that's kind of like where it all started and why I decided to shift away from this mindset of lead magnets and just trying to attract as many people as I could to my list. It was really for me more than anything, just because I felt tired of feeling like showing up in my email box was the same as showing up everywhere else online.
Love it. Love it. Now, there's the traditional method that people use to filter people. So someone comes to your sign up page, you know, and then there may be one or two things you do just to group people, filter them, put them into buckets and things like that. But yours is pretty different in the sense that you're not even trying to just put them into buckets. What I see you saying is, if you're not a fit for my community, what I'm doing here and how I want to do it, if you don't really need to be here, then don't even sign up at all. So it's more like pushing away those that don't need to be and ensuring that anybody that needs to, that joins this, truly, truly is in sync with what it is you're doing. So tell us a bit of your own method as against the traditional or what people would usually do when they want to filter.
Yeah. So usually, you know, when people are creating a landing page for people to opt into their email list, the goal is to have as high of a conversion rate as possible. Right. So it's like, if for every 100 people that land on your page, we want 10 of them to opt in, and we'll do whatever we can to hit that conversion rate. Right. So you put something really shiny and irresistible for people to sign up for and join. And it almost leads to that like impulsive decision of like, ooh, yes, let me just sign up and get this thing. And then, you know, we know that we're being added to an email list when we sign up for something like that. But usually we're not really that interested in like actually getting emails from that freebie, you know, whoever provided it. Sometimes we really are, but I would say probably the majority of the time we're not. And so what happens is the emails just start arriving and collecting in our inbox. And then we're like, who is this? Or, whoa, I didn't really want this. And then we unsubscribe, or we don't open anything and we get disengaged, right? And so I really wanted to avoid that. And so my thought was, I was like, well, instead of going for opt-ins and like a high conversion rate, I really want to focus on just building relationships and connections with the right people. And so I was like, how can I make this page like as high effort as possible, you know, for people to decide whether they want to opt in? So I took away the shiny thing. I got rid of the freebie, right? So there's no like free incentive for them to sign up. It's just like, hey, you're joining my list. And my opt-in page, there's one place where people can join my email list, and it is one singular opt-in page other than purchasing an offer, right? If they become a customer, they're added to my list, but just as a subscriber. And it has like 1,000-word essentially essay of like my worldview, my marketing ethos, what I believe, how I believe marketing should be done compared to how it is done. And I have a 7-day welcome sequence. So when people sign up, they get the 7-day sequence. And I mentioned the sequence on the page, like, hey, if you sign up, you know, you're going to get emails from me for the next 7 days to kind of introduce you to my worldview. So if everything on this page interested you and made you feel excited, go ahead and sign up. You'll get the 7-day sequence and you'll be added to my email list where I kind of dive into all these concepts at a little bit of a deeper level. And the opt-in form is at the very, very, very bottom of the page. So even if someone doesn't want to read the whole page, they have to scroll to get there. So at the very least, like, it's introducing some of that friction so that people are maybe just being a little bit more intentional with whether they're deciding to type their email in and hit submit, right? So that's kind of where the filtering comes in, is I'm helping people kind of pre-qualify themselves to see if they're going to be a good fit for my list before they opt in.
And that's just awesome, because, I mean, first of all, this goes against a number of rules that I can think of in terms of what would be recommended. For example, you have one opt-in form and it's at the very bottom. Usually, once you get on the page, right, there's the opt-in form that comes in the hero section. And then as you scroll through, depending on how long what it is you have is, there will usually be like the buttons that would send you to the opt-in form, just so that at any point it sees you read and, you know, you're ready, you can easily get in. But you're saying no opt-in form. Read through this so you know this is what I'm really about. Then get to the bottom and join my list. Then number two is the fact that I remember the first time when we used to think that to add someone to your list, your lead magnet had to be, you know, something you were given in terms of a book, a class, a workbook, a template. And then we now got to the point where we saw that it could also be like the idea, the community. But now you are just telling people, this is how you can join my list. And then you're saying, this is what it is that we believe in. This is what it is we do. This is what you would expect. And this is the button. And I think that this is entirely different, but it's also pretty cool because it has given you the results that you desire, right? So in the sense of what it is you were trying to achieve in terms of like engagement, you actually got that and even got more, because thinking that, you know, that the conversion rates would drop and then seeing that it actually went up, I'm like, okay. So you introduced a lot of friction and people are still signing up. So is there something that you're doing that is ensuring that, okay, the people that are landing there are mostly like the right people, as opposed to, or is it just the fact that it seems like, you know how when we're human beings and behavior, when it seems like this is something that wants to exclude them, they don't want to be on the, you know, on the other side. Everybody wants to be on the inner circle. I keep thinking about it, but what do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, part of it is that like attract and repel. Like I didn't do that intentionally to try to like say, hey, this is exclusive. You know, I really did it just to be like, hey, I genuinely only want people on my list who want to be there. So like, please make sure you want to be there, you know? But I think, you know, just especially in this like era that we're living in with marketing, we're like post-pandemic and, you know, just people are craving more depth, more transparency and honesty and like genuine connection with the brands that they buy from, like whether that's small business or big business or whatever it might be. Like, I think that there's just this really big trend of people wanting to like resonate and align with who they're buying from or who they're supporting and engaging with. And so the more opportunities that people are given to do that, like the more that they're going to feel excited about it. And so I think that, you know, just having that opt-in page be really values forward and just very human and transparent, I think that it really helps people feel more excited to opt in. They're like, this is refreshing because it's different. And also, I know that I already align with the values of this person. So like, yes, I want to join, you know. And so I think that it helps people commit because they know exactly what they're getting into. You know, like it sets those expectations and people like to know what they're getting into and what to expect. You know, as humans, it's like it goes against our nature to have surprises or have things that are unexpected. It's like a survival instinct that we have. And so I think allowing people just that transparency of like, here's exactly what you can expect and please only sign up if it feels good to you. I think it actually helps people make a commitment because they don't have that unexpected or that kind of fear of, okay, if I sign up for this, are you going to be pressuring me? Are you going to be emailing nonstop? Like all of that. So I think just that removal of the uncertainty really helps people opt in.
That's so great. Now I'm wondering, you started by filtering with long form copy. So it's like a very long essay. And so since then, have you experimented or tried like filtering with other ways? Or is it that this one works and you're just sticking with it?
So, I mean, this works for me. And so I'm sticking with it. But something that I actually noticed too was that with my 7-day welcome sequence, I also get even deeper into like the principles that I follow with my business and how I do marketing and kind of, you know, how I approach everything. And I'd get really authentic and really deep with that. And I noticed that there are certain days within that welcome sequence where I have some people unsubscribing. And I think it's because even the people who maybe they glanced over that page and just decided to opt in, once they do start reading those emails, it's like an even deeper filter. And so just in case someone like scrolled all the way through the opt-in page and just decided to opt in because they wanted to be on my list, having that welcome sequence acts as an additional filter. And so it just kind of helps weed out some of those people that I'm like, this is a foundational belief that I have about how I do business. And like, if you don't at least feel interested in learning more about this, like, you know, you're not going to like it here because this is how we do things. And I'm really like kind about it. In my emails, I'm always like, hey, like you're welcome to head out at any time. Like, and you're welcome back at any time. You know, I don't try to be like, please don't unsubscribe or anything like that. But it's interesting. I did notice that there are a couple days in that sequence where I have some polarizing beliefs that I share about marketing. And those are the days when I do notice some unsubscribe in my sequence. So that's super interesting that the filtering even continues to happen in the welcome sequence after they sign up.
You know, I can't remember if it was Seth Godin that talked about this thing or somebody else, but he talks about when it comes to community and the fact that it's a group of people that are, you know, brought together by a certain belief. And I think that that's something you really leaned into with your email list. And so it's the fact that it's like, this is what we believe in and we are going hard on it and we are openly disparaging and, you know, putting down all the other things that we don't agree with. So nobody comes in and they're wondering, is this person here or this person? They just all know that this is what, because I know that there are some people have been in their email list. And even when I don't agree with what it is they say, I just know that this is what this person believes in. This is this person's mantra. This is how they go with it. And if I'm here, then I know that, you know, I should be open to receiving it. And I think that really leaning into this belief-led marketing, if I may call it, or quasi-marketing, I should call it, because I think it still all ties in, right? Actually now brings you closer together. It's how you can enter a room. And then all of a sudden, everybody seems to be on two sides because maybe there's a match going on and we're Arsenal fans and then we're Man U fans. And even though you have never met yourselves before, just because all of you are supporting this team and you all stand for this team, you guys just get to bond. And I love how you have, you know, put this in to be able to ensure that you have your own people, your own tribe in your email list. And I think it's something that people can emulate. Now, I just want to know, within the process of, you know, doing this lead filtering, I know you said that you did it and it just worked and you haven't really done anything much to it. But I'm thinking, what are the tools, the platforms you use to execute this? And are there any adjustments you think you want to make to this along the way to improve the results you have gotten so far?
So for platforms, are you asking about like what my email service provider is?
Yeah.
So I use previously ConvertKit. They're now Kit. I still call them ConvertKit, but my email service provider is through Kit. And then my landing page is just on my website. And so, you know, I have all of my various marketing channels like Threads and Instagram and Pinterest and SEO on Google, stuff like that, you know, and so people find me in those ways. And I really try to do my best to like be forward with my values and what I believe and kind of, you know, my outlook on things in those channels. So that the right people are like, oh, this interests me. I want to learn more. And so then I'm like, hey, the next step is you can join my email list or you can, you know, read this page to see if you want to join my list. So that's kind of how I view it is just I try to be really forward with those values and those beliefs as early on in the marketing process as possible. So hopefully it's like it's a filter as they come through. You know, it really helps. Bring in the right fit people, the deeper they get in, the more that they learn about how I do things.
Yeah. And I know that you wanted to increase subscriber engagement by doing this, but do you think it's also had impact on, you know, the role of email marketing in your business in terms of also like conversions and leads for programs and services?
Yeah, absolutely. So I used to like not really get many replies. Before, you know, here and there, I would like get someone replying to my email. But now every time I send out an email, I get multiple replies or every time someone joins my list. I would say like probably about half the time. I haven't measured it, but my estimate is probably about half the time they'll reply to me at some point in that 7-day welcome sequence that they're getting to share how excited they are to be reading or, you know, to introduce themselves to me. So that's really cool. And it has definitely had a really positive impact on conversions for me, just because I know that the people on my list are already a good fit, you know, to be in my world. And so when I'm creating offers for those people, like it's going to be a good fit for them. And also having the replies is really helpful because I will sometimes tease out an offer that I'm thinking about creating. And I'll say like, hey, let me know if this is something you guys are interested in. And since I've created that culture of replying to my emails, people will reply and let me know like, hey, this might be something I'm interested in, or I could be interested if XYZ. And so it's been a really good place to kind of like refine my offers and learn what my audience is looking for. Just because I know that those people that are on my list are already a good fit because they've already been filtered. So I don't have to worry about putting them through another funnel or doing all those things after they're on my list. Because I know that if they're there, they want to be there, you know.
Love it. And now how does this also roll into like the kind of emails that you send out to your list? Because yes, you're filtering these people. You're also filtering with like the 7-day sequence. So when it gets into your ongoing nurture emails, now that they've come into your ecosystem, are you still doing some level of filtering, or are you now like, you know what, I have the quality and the kind of people I want, so let's just, you know, continue with the message that we want to put out there?
Yeah, it has definitely allowed me to show up more freely when I'm sending like my newsletters and whatnot. I do like a monthly recap just of like kind of how I'm approaching my marketing and what I'm working on that month and lessons that I'm learning. And those have gotten really good feedback just because I do kind of have my own approach to marketing and business. And so people enjoy hearing how I'm implementing that. So that's been really helpful. And then I also just, I really enjoy, I'm like in general, just as a person, I'm like pretty introspective and I like to think and mull over things. And so that's kind of like a natural way to express myself and my thoughts is just to, you know, kind of, I just write my emails. I'm like, here's something I've been thinking about lately, or, you know, here's something that I'm learning or something that I'm going through. Sometimes I'll share some encouragement, you know, just with that I know people need to hear. And so it's really allowed me to show up a little more freely and less worried about you know, how can I write an email that people are going to read? Or how can I write a subject line so that people will open it? I'm like, no, the people who are here want to hear from me as me. And so it's been a really nice place to just show up as myself.
That's so great. Let's look at this. I was going to ask, because you were very specific about saying a 7-day series. Is it a 7-day series because you decided it's a 7-day series, or is there some sort of structure behind why it's a 7 days, and does it have to be 7 days?
So I knew I wanted to write a welcome sequence, just to kind of introduce people to my methodology, you know, and how I approach things. And I kind of just listed out some of the major points of, like, you know, if someone is brand new to this, what would I want them to know? So I kind of listed out some principles that I follow, or, you know, some of the main concepts that I talk about, just in case someone is completely unfamiliar with what I do, or just to kind of give a good foundation. And it ended up, I think, being like 6 points of things. And I was like, yeah, I feel like that's pretty good. And then I have another email at the end that's like, a little more about me and my personal values and just like what they can expect going forward as they like join my regular newsletters and stuff. So it wasn't anything that was like crazy strategic. It kind of just worked out. And I was like, I feel like a week is good. You know, it's not too long, but it's also enough time to kind of get people familiarized with what I do.
Okay. Now, if you were going to try this again, would you do anything differently?
That's a good question. I don't know, because the reason why it has turned out the way it has is because I went into it with the mindset that I did, which was not with the intention of, you know, having high conversion on my opt-in page or like growing my list and increasing my subscriber count. The intention really was to like refine my list and keep it cozy and make sure that only the right people were getting on there. And like in hindsight, I know why things turned out the way they did. And I still live by those principles of like prioritizing the connection first and not going for the high conversion rate. Like even on my sales pages and stuff, I don't seek like to increase the conversion rate as high as possible, you know. But I think just going into it the way that I did, I'm really happy with how it turned out. So I don't know. It's hard to say whether I would do something different or not, just because of the way that I intended for it to work out when I went into it, I think is the reason why it did work out the way it did.
That's great. Now, let me get your permission. So I have an email you sent January 13th, the December recap email open here. And I want to pick out certain things from it before I ask you my next question. Can I proceed? Because this will now be listened to by people who haven't joined the Cozy Corner yet.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
All right, so Annie sent out this email January 13th, and it was her December recap, and it says how I'm building my world. But what really struck me, right, aside the fact that she talked about a number of things, including her maintenance protocol, which you will need to follow her to find out more about, and she talked about the tsunami and stuff like that. She also talked about how she launched a new course and then went into some data that I found pretty interesting, and that's where I'll start from. So she was doing a reflection and sharing the results. So for this particular course launch, she sent 200 emails that had a 9.5 and a 9.7 click to open rates, right? And she simply popped the link into the PS of her emails. Now she sent a launch email series which had 4 emails. And in the launch email series with 4 emails sent, open rates were between 81% to 90%. After which the emails with the purchase links had a 62% click-through rate and her sales page had a 31.5% conversion rate. And the first thing that really stopped me in my tracks when I read it was the fact that you had all the data down to the letter. I love when people track their numbers. I love when people can see what's working and what's not working. And I love the fact that you took it step by step. Now, how does the Cozy Marketing method and everything that you do today impact a launch? So let's say somebody also wants to do cozy marketing, right? And wants to follow what it is you're saying. We've seen these are your launch results, but of course, this is not typical for everybody. So how would you say that the method you use from the lead filtering to actually practicing what you preach impacts on your launch, you know, results?
Yeah, I love that question. So the way I define cozy marketing is I just say that it's marketing that feels good for us and for our audience. And so it's going to look different for everybody, right? And I'm always like experimenting and trying new things. And so for this launch that I did, you know, it was during the holidays and it was like shortly after Black Friday. It was, you know, mid to late December. And I was like, people just have a lot going on. There's a lot of noise in their inboxes. You know, it's the holidays. They don't want to just be inundated with noise and promotions. And so what I did is instead of just sending my launch emails out to my entire list, I sent those two regular newsletters. And in the PS of the newsletter, I just said, hey, I'm launching a course, which I had talked about a little bit previously. So people were a little warmed up to what I was working on. And I said, if you want to receive the launch emails, click here and, you know, you'll be added to the, it's like a raise your hand if you want to get the launch emails. So instead of just sending the launch emails out to my entire list, I only sent the launch emails to the people who opted in to get the launch emails. And that was really just, especially with like the time of year and just everything that was going on, I felt like it was going to be the most like courteous and respectful way to launch a course to my list at that point. I don't do that for every single launch and I may do it again in the future, but it felt good for me at that time. And it was really cool to see how it worked. So I had like a really good amount of people for only sending out two in the PS of like, hey, raise your hand if you want to get these launch emails. I had a great amount of people sign up to get them, and almost everybody read almost every email. And I had a bunch of people sign up, and it was because they knew they wanted to get the launch emails, and so they already knew they were interested in the course. And so that was cool to see. That was a fun experiment of like letting people opt in to a launch instead of opting out of the launch emails. So it was fun.
So I really, really love what it is that you did here. Right. So I'm just looking at it. And one of the things that really stood out for me when it comes to this result that I just read is the fact that you had really good open rates, not just really good open rates, but you also had really great click rates and click to open rates. And so that leads me to my next question, which is, what is your greatest tip for getting people to click ethically without using clickbait? So without trying to, you know, trick them into open and all of that, what would you say is your greatest tip? Because I see you doing amazing in this particular area.
So I really try to create like a culture on my list of like engaging and replying and clicking links. So I'm really big on creating a culture with your brand. That's like some steps that I teach too. There are ways that you can just set precedent and set expectations with people so that they know, like, here's how things work. When I'm on Addie's list, like, she puts cool links and there's cool stuff to click on. And so, you know, I try to put at least one fun link in most of my emails, whether it's like a cool ad that I saw that I thought felt really neat, or, you know, like a video to watch or something like that. And so I have created that culture of like, clicking on things is low pressure. You know, like if you click on something, you're not going to be like spammed with new emails or whatever. And so there is just that culture of like, hey, Addie links things and sometimes I click on them, and sometimes that's a sales page and sometimes it's like a cool YouTube video to watch. And so I think that's probably my biggest tip, is just thinking of ways that you can encourage that culture of engaging with your emails so that it's not abnormal. Like once you do launch something or, you know, send like a sales email, it's already a behavior that people are used to engaging in when they're reading your emails. And also people know that I'm never going to like pressure them or, you know, like try to use sales psychology to like make them impulsively make a decision about something. So clicking into a sales page that I've linked feels like non-committal in a good way. They're like, I can click on this and I can read it and I can learn, and I'm not going to like feel my cortisol spike because of the high pressure language that's being used on the page, right? So I think those are some of my tips for encouraging people to engage and click.
I really love the fact where you say they should create a culture, because I mean, everything still comes back to the culture. Now, you do website design, you have this amazing show, it's website templates on your page. And I just feel like you're a designer, so it will definitely come into your emails. So how does it look like for you when it comes to the place of, you know, your email templates versus plain text emails? Have you noticed any major differences when it comes to like your engagement or how your emails are delivered?
So I am, my personal preference is just plain text emails. I have like a little image banner header, and I'll throw like a GIF or a meme in there sometimes. I'm preferential as a reader to plain text emails. I feel like they just convert to dark mode easier. And a lot of times I'm reading emails on my phone, like at night, stuff like that. So it's just a personal preference of mine that I just do plain text emails. I've never really used like the highly designed emails, but I know that some people like that and have great success with that. So like, I even like sell email templates, you know, and people love them and they say that they have great results with them. It's just my personal preference. It also just makes things easier for me because, you know, I'm a mom, life is busy, running a business, and it's just one less thing to think about for me, is having to design my email after I wrote it. So I'm like, okay, I can just write an email, paste it in and hit send. And so it's like, it's less of a barrier for me. And it helps me actually send more emails, not having to worry about designing it.
I love it. I love it. Now, what advice would you give to somebody who wanted to start email marketing today, right? If you were to give this person one piece of advice, what would it be?
Okay, my advice is kind of twofold, but it's to not build your list with freebies. If I could give advice, I would say, like, if you can, just try to make your email list itself the thing that people are signing up for. And if you can start with that foundation, I think it's really going to help in the long run, just because you're building from the start with people who like are excited to be there and hear from you. And I know that it can be hard sometimes when you're starting an email list and you have like 5 people on your list, and it feels like you put all this effort in to writing a newsletter and to 5 people. And then maybe the next week you have 10 people on your list and you're like, I just put all this effort into this newsletter and now half of my list has never seen it. So my follow-up tip to that would be, when you're starting your email list and you don't have a ton of people on it, I would think about creating a sequence that people can join. Even if you just add your new newsletters onto the end of it, maybe it's like a 2-month long sequence when you're building your list. So that way all the work you're doing doesn't feel like it's going to waste, so that you're not like, I can write a newsletter, I can write 8 newsletters, and everyone that joins my list for the next 3 months is going to get those same 8 newsletters in the same order, you know, once a week, something like that. So I think it can kind of help encourage people to take action, because I think it's sometimes daunting and it feels like a lot of work for not a lot of return when you're first starting out.
Oh, wow. I love it. Now, before we end up with the open rate confessions, where we go ahead to share the most cringeworthy, hilarious, or painful email marketing moments, like subject lines that flopped or campaigns that went sideways, I want you people to know how you can actually see Addy's lead filtering process in action, that you can literally experience it live, from the 1,000-word essay all the way to the 7-day email series and every other thing in between. So all you need to do is sign up to her email list. And of course, if you're not a good fit for it, the lead filter will filter you out, right? So sorry in advance if you're not. But I believe if you're listening to this podcast, you would almost like a 90% be a good fit for it. So all you need to do would be to go to her website. You want to go to encontrocreative.com/subscribe. So that is encontrocreative.com/subscribe. I would definitely drop the link in the show notes. But once you go there, you're going to see this fantastic essay that says, join the cozy corner and learn how to create an audience of true fans who can't get enough of your brand. And then you will see this essay we have been talking about. Get ready to scroll. And then at the very, very bottom, you will now see the sign up form where it says sign up for the Cozy Corner here, your first name, your email address, and of course, subscribe. And you will be on your way to also receiving the amazing 7-day email series. Okay. So, Adi, where can people find you on social media? I want them to also know at this point where we can find you, not just on social media, but online. How can people find you, learn more about your work, and connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my website is always a really good place. I've done my best to create like a nice body of work on my website with my blog and everything so that anyone who's interested in learning about how I approach things, I have tons of blog posts that you can go read and check that out. So you just gave my website link, so they'll know where to go for that. And then I'm on Instagram and Threads. I'm not super active on Instagram. I'm more active on Threads right now. But it's Encontro Creative, same spelling as my website. Those are probably the best places to find me. The other places I show up are like SEO based platforms where, you know, they're not really engaging much. So if you're seeking out active engagement, Instagram or Threads are great. Feel free to DM me anytime.
Great, great. Now, do you have any courses, resources, or templates that our listeners can check out?
Yeah, so I do sell website templates. I used to be exclusively a custom website design studio. So those are designed with love and kind of left over from that era of my life. But now I teach marketing, and I think the best place to start, if you do join my email list and you like what you see, if you read some of my blog posts, the best place to start is going to be this mini course that I have called Build Your Brand World. And it's all about how to use world building as a marketing approach. It's $97, and it's kind of like a holistic introduction to how I approach marketing and how you can start to take some first steps in that direction. If you're interested in marketing that is, you know, a little bit more low pressure, long term, and more relationship based. So
that's great. That's great. And all of these things, guys, you can definitely find it on her website. So it is time for open rate confessions. And I already told you a bit about what it is, but it's time for Adi to spill, basically. A lot of times we feel like everybody has it all figured out and, you know, well thought out. But now we're going to stop pretending like everything is perfect. And we'll talk about the moments that we'll rather delete from our archives. So here is my question for you. Don't worry, this is a safe space. Adi, are you ready to spill?
Yes, sure.
All right. So let's look at this. What is the lowest open rate you have ever gotten, and what happened?
I don't know. I've been doing email for many years, so probably like it would probably be earlier on in my business days. I honestly have no idea what my lowest open rate was, but it was probably just earlier on in my business years when I was still like learning the ropes and figuring out what people wanted to hear from me, you know, but off the top of my head, I do not know.
All right. Since you don't know, we're going to throw one more question about you, right? So you're going to tell us what yours is, right? So do you have an email that flopped, a subject line that bombed, or any cringeworthy moments that taught you something in your years of doing email marketing?
I don't know. I'm super non-committal about subject lines and stuff like that. And I really don't take things to heart. So I'm not like super strategic with my subject lines or anything. I would say like, if anything's cringeworthy for me, it would be just that I like just felt so unexcited about doing email marketing for so long and didn't change my approach to it, you know? Like, if something doesn't feel good and you're not excited about it and you just like keep struggling through it without changing anything, like that was probably the hardest thing for me, is just knowing that I went so long not feeling excited about it and actually kind of dreading it and just forcing myself through it anyway. I wish that I would have been brave enough to test something out or at least just like stop. Because, you know, if something's not like bringing a return that feels worth your effort, like I wish that I would have just allowed myself to pivot or take a break earlier on, I think.
And I love it. I love it. So if there's anything you take away from today's episode, number one is the fact that you should build a culture for your email list, because I think that every single thing Adi has shared with us today stems from the fact that she has a culture, from her lead filtering to her email series, all the way down to how she sends emails. And secondly, is you should allow yourself to pivot. And I really love that one because it's so in tune with what it is we do here, email marketing experiments. You think it, you test it, and of course you share it. So allow yourself to pivot. If it's not working, you're not comfortable with it, try something else. Do it a bit differently. And you never know what it is on the other side of difference. Until next time, thank you so much, Adi. It has been a whole pleasure having you here and getting to see your own side of email marketing, your behind the scenes. I've taken note of a thing or two that I'm definitely going to be testing out because I really enjoyed this conversation. So thank you so much for coming. Guys, don't forget to follow her on Instagram and Threads. Connect with her. She says you can send her a DM. So you can see that that's an opportunity that you shouldn't throw away. And of course, don't forget to join the Cozy Corner by subscribing to her email list. Until next time, this is Email Marketing Experiment. Subscribe, comment, and share with anybody who needs to know more about email marketing and how they can do better. Bye.